Joshua chapter 8. Turn in your Bibles, please. And I put up there 1 through 26. We're going to actually just read the first 10 verses, okay? But I want to say thank you to Brother Michael, Brother Kelly for filling in my absence last week. They did a super job. I joined for church online. And, you know, that's fine, but boy, it's not like being here. And so I do appreciate them, though, taking care of things in my absence. We're glad to be home. Had a wonderful, wonderful time. Soaked up a lot of sun. My nose is still a little red, but that's all right. We're glad to be back home, and it's good to see you today. We're continuing our Desiring God series. We're desiring God by desiring God's work. Joshua chapter 8, verse 1. One more thing. You know, you may ask, why do we need to stand? Listen, if you have health issues, don't worry about it. Sit down. I get it. Okay? But why do we do so much? Why do we stand when we read the Word of God? Well, number one, it is respect. It is respect for the Word of God. You know, in the Bible, or when they would read the Word of God in the Bible, they would stand. The amazing thing is they would read the entire law of Moses and they would stand. But another thing, and this is just a personal thing, you know, when I was in the Army, or in the Air Force, the military, when I would appear before my commander, I never walked into his office and sat down and said, "What can I do for you, sir?" I walked in and I stood at attention. And I said, "Airman Hambrick is here for your command." As we're reading the Word of God today, I want you to understand we're standing at attention before our commander in chief, God Himself, waiting for His orders. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, or Joshua chapter 8, verse 1. "Now the Lord said to Joshua, 'Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. And you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king. Only its spoil and its cattle you shall take for a booty for yourselves. Now an ambush, or lay an ambush for the city behind it.' So Joshua rose and all the people of war to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, 'Behold, you shall lie in ambush against the city, behind the city. Do not go very far from the city, but all of you be ready. Then I and all the people who are with me will approach the city, and it will come about when they come out against us as at the first, that we shall flee before them. For they will come out after us till we have drawn them from the city, for they will say, they are fleeing before us as at the first. Therefore we will flee before them. And you shall rise from the ambush and seize the city, for the Lord your God will deliver into your hand. And it will be, when you have taken the city, that you shall set the city on fire, according to the commandment of the Lord. You shall do. See, I have commanded you.' Joshua sent them out, and they went to lie in ambush and stayed between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people. And Joshua rose up early in the morning and mustered the people and went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people of Ai." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray for your guidance and as we look into your word today. Lord, speak to us. We have gathered together today to hear from you. And I pray, Lord, that this message will be from you. Put your words in my mouth. Open our hearts to receive your word and glorify your name. Lord, I pray that you will freely move among us today, that you will convict of sin, that you will draw all men to you, that you will soften hearts, and that, Lord, we will respond to your word as you lead. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Title of the message today is Recovering from Failure. How many of you have a failure problem? Let's ask that a different way. How many of you have ever failed? Isn't it fun? Most wonderful time. It's actually some of the most educational times I've ever had, or the failures. But we all have a failure problem. And oftentimes we have a failure problem even with the best of intentions. Right? So I want to start out by talking about a few people whose lives were marked by failure. Did you know Elvis Presley was a failure? No. Yeah. They fired him from the Grand Ole Opry and told him he just needed to go back to driving a truck. James Dyson. You know Dyson vacuums? James Dyson is the man who invented the Dyson vacuum. He suffered 5,126 failed prototypes before he created a working vacuum. 5,000 failures? Michael Jordan. Y'all know who Michael Jordan is, right? Greatest basketball player of all time. I don't care. You know, he was just the best. Did you know he was cut from his high school basketball team? Michael Jordan cut? Yes. Absolutely. And it's not just people, you know, in the secular world who fail. People fail in the spiritual world. I look at Moses. Moses decided he was going to deliver the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. And he went one day and he saw an Egyptian beating an Israelite. And so he killed the Egyptian. And he ran from Egypt as a common criminal because Pharaoh wanted to kill him. Right? Failure. Now we know he went back later, right? And did it according to the working of God. David. Oh, David, man after God's own heart. One of the most spiritual men, if not the most spiritual man in the Bible, was guilty of adultery. I mean, he did something that would have got any preacher anywhere fired and ran out of town. And then he had somebody killed. Failure. Peter. A man who walked with Jesus for 3 years. Denied even knowing Jesus 3 times in one night. Failure, failure, failure. Now, and I went down this list just to remind you, sooner or later, you're going to fail. And it's not will you fail, it's when you fail. And when you fail, you've got to know how to respond to it. Abraham Lincoln, who himself had multiple business failures as well as political failures before he was elected as President of the United States, said, my great concern is not whether you have failed, but whether you are content with your failure. You see, some people fail and that's it. It's over. I've known people whose feelings were hurt in church and they haven't darkened the doorstep of a church for 30 years because somebody hurt them long ago. Failure. You didn't know how to respond. I know people who have tried to teach classes. I know preachers who have pastored and come to that point where, you know, that things kind of fell apart on them and they just quit and they've not been the same since. That's not how you respond to failure, whatever the failure is. Today, we're going to learn how to respond to failure. First thing you got to do is there has to be an emotional reset when you fail. Israel, at this point, Brother Kelly preached about the defeat of Israel last Sunday night and how that Ai had just thrashed Israel. It's really interesting because Israel entered the battle against Ai the time before, they were filled with confidence. As a matter of fact, they sent in spies who came back and told Joshua, you don't even have to bother everybody. Let's just send a few people in there. We just need 2,000 or 3,000 folks because they are small and weak. They're nothing compared to Jericho that we just wiped out. So, of course, Joshua sends 3,000 men into Ai, and they start to attack the city of Ai. The men of Ai come out, and they just thrashed them. 36 men died, and the rest of the army of Israel ran for their lives. They fled before the enemy. And in chapter 7, verse 5, it says that the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Failure will do that to you, won't it? It just makes you want to quit. I'm never going to do this again. Have you ever said that? Well, I'll never do that again. That's not the answer. See, Israel's in that pivotal point after a failure, and God gives them the new command. Okay, boys, it's time. Let's go get the city of Ai. And I don't know what they were thinking at the time, but I thought, hey, Lord, we already tried this once. It didn't work. But here's what you have to understand. Take this to heart. Your failure does not mean that God is finished. Your failure does not mean that God is finished. Israel, you see, Israel's just getting started. They've only conquered one city in this process of taking the Canaan land. One city, Jericho, and the second time, now they did some things wrong which resulted in the failure in battle, but there are a lot of victories ahead. See, they've got to decide what they're going to do from this point forward. And being paralyzed by fear and wallowing in self-pity and the woe is me, we lost a battle, we'll never be the same. That's not acceptable at this point. That's why God said, do not be afraid nor dismayed. He opened verse 1 with that phrase, do not be afraid or dismayed or discouraged. You don't know how many times as a pastor I've seen people in this state because they failed. They their marriage failed. Listen, it is a tough thing when a marriage fails, and we won't get into the reasons and everything, but I've seen people say, well, I just can't come back to church because I'm embarrassed because my marriage failed. Listen, if I've got your attention in this congregation today, we say amen. I want you to listen. And I pray you never find yourself in the middle of a marriage battle. But here's what I want you to understand. If you have ever had marriage problems, would you raise your hand? The only ones that aren't raising their hands are the ones that aren't married. We can all stand up here and look like, hey, we've got it all together. But I promise you, there's been times when Beth Hambrick would have rather left me than stayed with me. Praise God she didn't. You know, my point being this, you don't have to be embarrassed. We all have failures. We all have shortcomings. We all have faced the same battles and dealt with the same battles. You know, business failures. I've had people, you know, their business fail and they declare bankruptcy and they just can't come back to church because they're embarrassed. No! No! Don't let failure run you away from God. Have failure run you to God. You see, that's what Israel did. After they fell with Ai, you know, God said, look, y'all did this wrong, and they took care of the problem. I've even had people say, well, Brother Doug, I've just messed up so big time. I don't feel right about being in church. Listen, if you've messed up big time, where you need to be is in church. Okay? So God can get you back on track. As long as you're wallowing in self-pity, you're going nowhere. But people do it. They'll do it for 10, 20, 30 years. I've watched people come to that pivotal point of, okay, I'm going to put this failure behind me and I'm going to move forward, or I'm just going to stay right where I am for the next 30 years. No. No. You have a choice. Do I have your attention? You have a choice. Do I have your attention? One more time. You have a choice. Do I have your attention? God. You can either be strengthened or you can be sifted. But you can't be both. Right? There are two paths of Scripture that comes to mind that are going to define you after a failure. First one is this, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay? You can decide, am I going to press forward? Am I going to learn from the failure and move on and honor and glorify God? And allow God to be my strength? That's what Israel does. And you know how this is going to turn out. They're going to thrash Ai, right? They're going to win this time. But they have to have the intestinal fortitude to move forward. You can be strengthened or you can be sifted. Luke 22:31. Remember Jesus talking to Peter? Jesus told Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. Satan has desired. That word sift, it means to be shaken. It means to be, if you've ever, my mom used to make scratch biscuits. She'd sift the flour. She'd shake it in that little sifter, you know. And that's the idea. Satan desires to shake your faith. Right? You can either be shaken or you can be strengthened, but you cannot be both. My point being, listen, don't wallow around in defeat. Don't wallow around in failure. Well, I tried. I gave it my best shot. No, get up. Suck it up, buttercup. And let's move forward for the Lord, right? Because I don't care who you are. We've all failed. Myself included. It's not, have I failed? It's, where am I going from here? God's still God. He can still move mountains. All I've got to do is have the faith to move forward. That's all Israel had to do. Second thing, you've got to have, after you get this inside right, the emotional reset, then you've got to have a support system. A support system. Look at verse 3. Joshua arose, and all the people of war, to go up against Ai, and Joshua chose 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. 30,000 mighty men of valor. That's 30,000 brave men who are willing to march in and charge into the face of danger. 30,000 men who actually, get this, 30,000 men who think they can win. These are the people you want to fight with. You know, these are people you want by your side, fighting with you and for you. Because they, first thing you've got to believe you can win before you'll win. These are the kind of men. They're not negative. They're not going to find reasons why this is not going to work. They're not going to say we can't do this. These are men that will fight to the death. Point being this, your success depends on the people around you. Surround yourself with good people. Okay? Makes sense. Surround yourself with good people. If you're an alcoholic recovering from alcoholism, don't surround yourself with drunks. Makes sense, right? If you're a drug addict recovering from drug addiction, don't surround yourself with people doing drugs. Find you a good support system, and the best support system that I know is, guess where? Right here. The church. These are people, and listen, I'm not gonna paint this rosy picture. These people in this church are not perfect. Sometimes we all have a bad day. Sometimes we open our mouth when we should be quiet. sometimes we're just a little bit ornery. The reason being because we're human. But here's what I know about church people. When I need help, they'll be by my side. When I fail, they will do their best to pick me up, bandage my wounds, and set me back on track. When I need help, church people will help me because we're fighting the same spiritual battles. I know the world says, well, I won't go to church because the church is filled with hypocrites. Well, listen, let me be around those hypocrites who are trying to honor God, as opposed to those who just play the holier-than-thou card because they don't go to church. That makes them not a hypocrite. Now, that just makes you a sinner without God. I say that in love. Listen. The people you surround, and young people, let me impress this, especially teenagers. If you surround yourself with the party crowd, you will become part of the party crowd. If you surround yourself with those who are druggies, you will yourself become a druggie. Now, let me tell you about church people. Church people care. Church people care. You go to the hospital, they're going to check on you. Somebody from the church is going to check on you. You need help, somebody's going to help you. And there are some people in this church that are just encouraging to be around. Have you noticed that? When you see them, you just smile and say, come on over here. I need to spend time. See, that's what church people do. There are some people who challenge you. And I don't mean challenging in a bad way. I'm talking about challenging in a good way. They challenge you to grow. I want to grow. I do. And you say, preacher? You're the preacher. You're supposed to be grown. I'm not grown yet. There are people in this church that ask me questions, who approach me and, you know, what do you think about this? And boy, it makes me get in the Word and challenges me to grow and know. That's church people. There is no better group of people anywhere than God's people. I'll end the way I started. We're not perfect. But praise God, we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And our standard is the Bible. And the Bible says we're to love one another. And I truly believe that the membership of Victory try to do that. Loving even though we're not perfect. This is the kind of people you got to surround yourself with. And listen, if you're a church, here's the thing. You're either going to be this kind of person who is an encourager or a caring, or you're going to be a bitter person. Because failure makes you bitter. I've seen a lot of old preachers, and I say this respectfully. There are two kinds of preachers, old preachers. There are bitter old preachers who are scarred from the wounds of the past, and there are preachers, old preachers who are joyful in the Lord Jesus Christ. The difference is choosing not to be overcome by your failure. And it doesn't matter if you're a preacher or if you're a lay person sitting in the pew. You can be bitter or you can be joyful. The choice is up to you. Hey, let's be joyful. Amen? Let's be joyful. It's our choice. Then finally, number three, you got to rise up and fight. You got to get that attitude right. Emotional reset. You got to have a support system of people that are going to be by your side no matter what. And then you've just got to rise up and fight the battle. Here's how the battle's going to go for Israel. All right? And if you read the whole chapter, I'd encourage you to do so. You'll get a better idea. But the way this is going to go, part of Israel's army is going to wait behind the city of Ai, right? They're going to wait back there, and Ai is not going to know they're back there. Then Joshua is going to take his men, and he's going to approach the city from the front. And the men of Ai are going to see Joshua and his men approaching the city, and they're going to come out of the city and meet them in battle. And as the men of Ai come out of the city and approach Joshua, Joshua is going to turn around and run like they did the first time. And so, seeing that, the men of Ai are going to chase after Joshua and his men. Well, the people that are lying in ambush behind the city, when they see that happen, they're going to come into the city of Ai, and they're going to set the city on fire and kill everybody in it. And then after they do that, they're going to start chasing the men of Ai. And when Joshua sees the smoke of Ai burning, then he's going to turn around with his men, and he's going to meet the men who are chasing him. And then Joshua's other men that have come from ambush are going to be approaching from behind. It's going to be an Ai sandwich. And guess what? God's people are going to win. I like that, don't you? God's people are going to win. Here's the thing. The only way to win a battle is to fight the battle. There are a lot of people in the United States of America who've quit fighting. Our country is a lost cause, they say. No, it's not. We just need God's people to get on our knees and stand up for what's right. A lot of people in church think, well, church is just, you know, it's not what it used to be. People aren't at the altars anymore. I just quit. No. No. You don't quit. You fight. You fight. You don't sit there and watch the world pass you by. You get in the battle. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. I think we're a people, a generation who need to learn how to fight. Oh, David was a fighter. The Apostle Paul was a fighter. Peter was a fighter. They had failures, but they were willing to stand. What did I say? Did I say Ephesians 12? Ephesians 6, verse 12. I was hoping I didn't say chapter 12, because you don't have 12 chapters, right? Ephesians 6:12. Here's what you need to... And I want to call your attention to the first few words. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We do not wrestle. You know what that word wrestle means? It means to fight. It means to fight. You've got to understand this is a war that's going on. It is a war of good and evil, or of good against evil. It is a war that began in the Garden of Eden. It is a war that has been passed down one generation to the next generation to the next generation. And yes, we are living in the last days. But listen, Jesus has not come back yet. He is coming soon, but He's not here yet. That means we keep fighting. We don't quit. We don't settle. We fight. So here's the deal. If your marriage is in trouble, fight. Fight. Well, Brother Doug, I just quit. No, don't quit. Fight. Well, Brother Doug, we failed. That's okay. Lace up your boots and go again. Well, Brother Doug, I've been hurt in church. It's okay. Fight. And I'm not talking about fighting other church members. I'm talking about fight to keep Satan out of your heart. Fight to be faithful in church. Fight to make your church a better church. How about your children? Brother Doug, I'm losing my kids. The world's getting... Listen, no, don't lose. You fight. You fight. You know the only reason the world would get our kids? Because we let them go. Moms and dads, you need to be moms and dads. Tell them no. When they want to go somewhere they shouldn't go, tell them no. When they want to be with people they shouldn't be around, tell them no. When they want to do things that they shouldn't do, tell them no. That's your job. It's called parenting. Fight. Don't just cave to the pressures of the world. Your kids say, yeah, but everybody else is. Good. Let them go. But you're not going. If I use that line on my parents. Yeah, but Dad, everybody else is going. His response was, they may be some, but you're not. It's called parenting. Keep fighting. That's the point. Keep fighting. You see, you have to understand there again, and planning the 1st of June, that we're going to start a new study called Spiritual Warfare. See, most people don't understand we're in a fight. We're in a fight. And we're not fighting one another. We're not fighting Democrats and Republicans. We're not fighting political parties and political candidates. Folks, we're fighting the devil and his minions. We're fighting principalities and powers and rulers of darkness against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Listen, we're here to fight, not to lay down and quit. How are you going to recover from failure? Listen, you've got to lace up your boots and get back in the war. Because I've got some insight for you. Closing insight. Are you ready? I said closing insight. Are you ready? We win. The war's already won. Okay? Jesus won it when He gave His life on the cross of Calvary. He has cleansed me from every stain. My sins have been cast as far as east is from the west. And when Jesus comes again, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, I'm going to go meet Him. But until that time comes, I'm going to fight. Jesus will come again to establish His kingdom upon this earth. There will be a 1,000-year reign. But until that happens, I'm going to fight. How about you? How about you? So you see, Israel had to regroup. They had to know how to deal with failure. And listen, I want you to understand today, you may have failed, but God's not finished. Do not sit around and wallow in your failure. You get up and go again. Get up and go again. That's the only way you'll win. The only way. Right? You may be here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let me give you this. You're in trouble. You're fighting a battle alone. Jesus Christ loved you so much that He gave His life upon the cross of Calvary. He died for your sin. He paid your sin debt so that whoever calls upon Him will be saved. See, that's the good news. That's the win. Are you a child of God? If not, we're going to have an invitation. I'm going to invite you to come. I know there are people today that are here today that are hurting. You know, I get it. We all go through those failures, ups and downs and crises. I get it. Listen, what you need to know is you're not alone. We've all failed. But this is a turning point. What are you going to do after the failure? The altar's open. If you know you're a child of God and you've experienced this failure, listen, I'd encourage you, come lay that failure at the altar and then get up and get back in the fight. You're here today, you've never followed the Lord in baptism. You know you're saved, but you've never been baptized. This is for you. Get in the fight.
Maybe you've kind of been out of the fight for 5, 10, 15, 20 years. And you just realize today, man, this has been haunting me way too long. Leave it at the altar, get in the fight. Whatever the Lord has laid on your heart today, get in the fight. Heavenly Father, oh, we thank You that our failures do not define us. We thank You that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We thank You that there is power, Lord, in You and the strength that we need to overcome the failures that we experience. And now, Lord, as we come to this invitation, I pray that You will freely move among us, that You will convict of sin, that You will draw them into You. But, Lord, I also especially pray for those who are wounded, been wounded by whatever battle. They're suffering. Father, help them to today by resetting that spiritual brokenness. Draw them to You, Lord. Renew their strength. Revive their zeal, Lord, that they may get back in the fight. So that when we leave here today, Lord, we'll all be soldiers, ready to be used, ready to fight the battles that lie ahead. Lord, we love You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.